Hey listeners, welcome to another Thursday to listen Azúcar Morena and CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Piano Shoe Beat, and it's by Howson. This is a musician, producer, and he's also a trumpet guy based in Vancouver. And his style is a trip hop, acid jazz, and break beats. Crazy, right? But it's good. It's good. I like it. So, welcome another Thursday to Azúcar Morena. Gracias por estar acá de nuevo. And if you're following Azúcar Morena on Instagram, you already know who is here tonight. And it's a very special artist that I just met last month, actually. And her name is Shawn. I hope I'm pronouncing right.
Yeah,
your
you're
name.
Good, good. It's not the easiest with the W in it.
I know. And sometimes it's hard. How should I pronounce this? But welcome and thank you for joining me in the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Shauna Ariel. I'm a mixed media painter, dual freelance curator from Vancouver mainland. I usually sell my art at events around the city, and I like to put on group shows that uplift other artists as well. My whole practice is also about upcycling, and it is very ecology-based. The whole point is just to make our community stronger and the world, as silly as it sounds, a little bit of a better place, you know?
I know. That's why I met you, because I met another artist last year, Maniacals, and that's what I met you, actually.
Yeah, and so we go to school together, but actually I met Manny when we were selling art out of Cito's.
Okay.
It's pretty funny how like-minded people just end up together. Actually, it wasn't a Cito's. Sorry, it was exhibition at James Black Gallery, Beautiful Trash. That's where we met. And then we continued to hang out because afterwards we did a Cito's,
Yeah, because arts support.
Art and musicians, right? And collaborations and just support your local community,
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it works. What is art unless there's an audience to see it? Mm-hmm. Like, I heard this quote in class the other day from Boudoir, a philosopher guy, and he was like, so my art is like a fridge light. It only turns on when someone opens the fridge. Otherwise, it's just full of stuff. I really like that quote.
Yeah. And what kind of art would you enjoy to do the most? Like, for example, because you cannot see, but she's wearing a very nice outfit that she painted by herself. And I don't know. I know you already shared. You're still learning how to do this, but what's your favorite so far?
What's coming out of this? Yeah. So I don't have one thing I do. Okay. It's the fun fact. But if I had to like define myself, I'm a surrealistic expressionist mixed media painter. So I like to upcycle with clothing and materials. So I'm not always using like the canvas, although I do have many canvas paintings. But I like to use paper. I actually once made a dress out of all of my rejection letters. Yeah, that was actually not too hard to make. It was harder to walk around in.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I'm very passionate about, I mean, why does art have to have rules? I mean, there should be, I guess, like some boundaries given, but at the same time, like it's expressionism. And what's better than upcycling as well, because it helps the environment too. So instead of throwing something away, you're giving it a new purpose. Yeah. And that in itself brings me so much joy. So much joy, honestly. It's hard to describe. It's like, have you ever done drugs?
No. I'm sure, yes.
Yeah. Or a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, or mate.
Mate is really good.
It's good. Yeah. And also, I'm sure you told me you make some jewelry as well.
Oh, yeah. So I make guitar pick jewelry. That's part of the art wear. So to go with my paint, I do painted clothing. I actually have a fashion show happening at the end of March at James Black Gallery. Follow up. It's on their page, I believe, Instagram page. But yeah, I paint on clothing, and obviously you need an accessory to go with it. So I make the jewelry. The jewelry, I do like hand sculpting. So I'm very, my art's also very fantasy inspired. So I have like seeing stones that I make, and like I sometimes make little rock pets. You never know when you need a little friend, you know, to like cheer you up. But stuff to go with the painted clothing, because I like to think of myself as the walking canvas almost.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea.
Take it off the frame.
When did you start making the jewelry? I mean, what was the first one?
It all started with patches, actually. I started selling patches when I was like 17 in high school.
Okay.
And I just did it to make some money because I was going to these shows and I had no money. I was a kid. So I sold these patches, $20, really easy. It was super fun. And then slowly I kind of started doing more. I never really took my art seriously until...
Until when?
I don't know, I guess.
I want to know.
Until I took myself seriously, I guess. Okay. You know, I had a lot of mental health crises that I had to go through, and I had to learn to love myself. You know,
it's hard, right?
It's really hard. And I had to learn also what I wanted to say with my art. I, as much as criticizing is important, I think also escapism is really important. And just like therapeutic art is really important. Yeah. Just being in the moment is important, right? Yeah. So for a while, I've been very much like just trying to like survive almost.
Yeah.
And my art has been like my crutch for me right now. But now that I've been in it for a bit and I'm like kind of shaping my identity more, I'm trying to use it as well as like a tool. Because I should say this too. I was born with a speech impediment. So I've always used my art as a form of communication and connection. And now I also want to use it as an uplifting thing that forms communities and, like, yeah. you know, really gets stuff done and makes good changes in the world that we need to be. Maybe not the whole world all at once, yeah. but even if it's just one person's life, that's good.
I know. Yeah. yeah. I'm sure art or something that you really enjoy to do, it can save you for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My mom's an art therapist, so definitely oh. I get that from her. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure. And now that you mentioned that, could you say that you have a certain style of art, like something that identifies your artwork?
You know, I still don't know what it is, but everyone who knows me and knows my uh-huh. art has said they know okay. what it is. And I don't, I ask them and they say they just know.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know what it is. Maybe the colors or uh-huh. the fact that it's like not realism. It's mm-hmm. very surrealistic. Or maybe just because I like to use humor a lot to express what I want to say.
Okay.
But I don't know personally yeah. what connects them all yet.
And when you start working in a painting or something, how that idea start? Like, you start feeling something in your body.
Yes, it's an emotional feeling.
Oh, I have to create something
right now. It's literally emotional response, completely accurate. That's why I call myself emotional surrealistic.
Yes.
Or not emotional, sorry, expressionist.
But could it's be because emotional too.
It is emotion. It is emotion. Because yeah. I'm trying to express something. I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to show something.
Mm-hmm.
Or honestly, I'm just trying to share something. Sometimes yeah. I'm happy and I want to share that happiness with other people, you know?
Yeah.
Like my most recent painting series, I painted the worm from Dune, except it was a sheriff.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that one already.
I didn't have that one finished then.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I just finished it recently. It's really nice. It's like a giant worm.
I want to see that. Yeah.
I'll show you.
It sounds interesting.
It's really good. Yeah, I've gotten some good remarks about it. Yeah, it's happy, but it's also, it's kind of changing a narrative too. I've been reading the Dune books lately, so, and I haven't seen the movies. So I yeah. was like, I want to paint it the way I think of it before I see the movie. And that's
yeah.
kind of what I like did. But then I wanted also to make him a sheriff because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
The one that I post, oh my God.
Space Cowgirl.
Yeah, I love that one.
I Need Some Space. That one is inspired by Lisa Scavige.
Okay.
I did two paintings inspired by, or mm-hmm. four paintings actually inspired by
okay.
her. Two were stolen, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah, I had a showcase at Portland Craft and
no.
someone just took them off the wall. It's never happened before. Portland Craft is great. Like, this never happened before. But yeah, it was just really unfortunate, you
yeah,
know?
I'm sorry.
Like, I mean, they must have been really good.
Of course.
It's kind of like, you know, a compliment on me, you know. But yeah, you know, it happens. The good news is I have pictures of them, so
oh,
I can still
okay.
sell print copies.
That's good.
So I still have like something.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing about being an artist, you can always create it again, usually.
Oh, but it's, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can do it, but it's, I think it's also because when you have that emotion, it's just that moment.
True,
and
yeah.
It's hard to duplicate, I think, right?
It's hard to duplicate the feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
To duplicate the image, I have done that without the feeling before. And it doesn't hold the same. Definitely not. I would definitely say not. But, you know, it's almost act like the same when it comes to like the craft of it, let's say,
mm-hmm.
you know. If someone cries while making a bench and then the other person doesn't cry while making a bench, but they both make the same bench, would you be able to tell which guy cried? That's the question.
Yeah.
And that's what I, you know, that's what I hope too with the paintings, because, you know, I hope they feel my emotions. But at the same time, being an artist, it's about letting go of that too. It's like I have my own narrative, but
mm-hmm.
when I put my art out in the world, people will see it in whichever way they relate to it. And I have to be okay with that, which I am, you know?
Yeah.
As long as it's on my lines of valuing and loving and respecting everybody, I'm pretty happy.
Oh, I love that. Well, I have more questions, of course, but right now we're gonna play some more music and we're coming back with you again. So just stay here, don't go anywhere, and enjoy the music.
Freedom is to me, no fear. I mean, really, no fear. If I could have that half of my life, no fear. Lots of children have no fear. That's the closest way, that's the only way I can describe it. That's not all of it, but it is something to really, really feel.
Sentirnos distantes y cada instante quiero abrazarte.
He venido al desierto para irme de tu amor, que el desierto es más tierno y la espina besa mejor. He venido a ese centro de la nada para gritar, que tú nunca mereciste lo que tanto quise dar, que tú nunca mereciste lo que tanto quise dar. Ah,
ah. Ahora sí. He venido al desierto para reírme de tu amor, que el desierto es más tierno y la espina besa mejor. He venido a ese centro de la nada para gritar que tú nunca mereciste.
He venido yo con olvidándome de ti. Dame un beso, pajarillo, y no te asustes, colibrí. He venido encendida al desierto pa' quemar, porque el alma prende fuego cuando deja de amar. Porque el alma prende fuego cuando deja de amar. Ay.
Ahora sí, he venido yo corriendo y olvidándome de ti. Dame un beso, pajarillo, y no te asustes, colibrí. He venido encendida al desierto pa' quemar, porque el alma prende fuego.
MRG Live presents Don Richard and Spencer Zahn at St. James Hall on March 2nd with support from Myrna. Don Richard is known for her collaborations with Catronata, and her new album features an intimate, soul-bearing orchestral soundscape full of soul, jazz, and confessional lyricism. You can get your tickets now at admitone.com. admitone.com.
I wanna be the quiet in a world full of noise. If I had only one.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives. News, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
De vuelta, bienvenidos de nuevo a Azúcar Morena. Estás escuchando CITR 101.9 FM, transmitiendo desde los territorios no cedidos de Personas Musqueam en la Universidad de Columbia Británica. Y bueno, nosotros seguimos acá con la entrevista. Ok, now I need to switch to English. And I'm gonna leave that question for almost at the end of the show, because I think it's okay. I don't know. I'm gonna think about it. Maybe okay. Before. But
ask away.
How would you describe the life of being an artist?
You're always working and you're always poor. Because everything goes into your passion. Everything goes into, at least for me, I would say, connecting and helping other people when I can. Right now, everything's going into my tuition, but it is... I asked someone that, actually, because we went around galleries and talked to some curators. And I asked that. I'm like, what is it like, you know, financially? Mm-hmm. And how do you know when you've made it, kind of thing? And they said... You don't ever really make it. You just keep up the hustle and you keep doing it, and that's what you do forever. So a long time ago, I already decided that I'd rather be happy and poor than rich and miserable. But now I'm kind of thinking I'd rather be happy and rich.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you can change your mind.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, you need money for everything.
Well, that's how it seems like the world's working these days.
Yeah.
Everything is money driven. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately.
But something that I realize, at least here, I don't know in the whole Canada, but at least in Vancouver, you won't die. I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of programs out there, I will say.
You can have house, food.
True, yeah, in that sense.
And you can still make in your art.
But some people just... I have a lot of people who fell into the opioid crisis and, like, died because of the drug use.
Yeah,
and that was what got them in the end. The housing was good. I mean, I feel like our issue in Vancouver is we have enough housing. It's just not affordable. It's way unaffordable.
I know.
So that just needs to change. I think everyone knows it, but everyone's like, no one's doing anything about it because people are greedy, I guess. I don't know what else to say. Or maybe they have to pay somebody a lot of money, but there needs to be like a system done, because what's happening right now is ridiculous.
I agree.
Completely ridiculous. When I had my art collective of 9 people, our rent each, we split it equally. I think the guy who had the worst room, we gave him a little bit off, but it was about $740 a month. Fun fact about that, I actually got the number wrong during that time. I thought it was like $720 or something. So the landlords never said anything till 5 months in, and I owed them $200, which I paid out of my own pocket.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go around and tell all my tenants, like, oh, I messed up. Whoops. You know, like, that's on me, right? So, but then I fixed it. I was like, hey, guys, like, I messed up. Please.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But that was an illegal rental, too. Like, I had to call the housing board, and then they were like, well, we'd have to evict you if we wanted to, like, get these landlords. And I wasn't ready to evict 9 people of rent that cheap. Well, it's not cheap, but, you know, considering Vancouver,
it was
the start of the housing crisis. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. I think it's better if we keep talking about art.
Yeah.
That's better. So, I'm curious, what's your favorite part of the, I don't know if I should call the process when you create something?
My
I don't know, like a,
part.
If you have like a kind of ritual when you're gonna paint something or you're gonna create something, like, you know, I wake up, I make it.
Coffee,
tea,
matcha.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Or some specific music.
Well,
it's something.
My favorite part is the middle of the painting. And my favorite thing to do is to drink 5 cups of coffee and just like go at it.
Yeah.
I have a school studio, but sometimes because I work on a lot of like very delicate fabrics that are very, they need a certain kind of like, place like a desk kind of covering and mannequin. I work on those at home, especially with the ecology. If I'm growing, I can't grow things in my shared studio at school, unfortunately. I might be able to ask about that, actually. I doubt it, though. But yeah, that stuff I do at home. And I just, yeah, I turn on the radio. I tune into this channel, actually, yeah, sometimes. Right. And I just go at it. And I'll maybe, sometimes I'll, like, share a photo with a friend and say, hey, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, wow, it's cool. Or, like, they'll be like, I hate it. Which is, like, fine. Like, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
And for me, yeah, as I said, like, a lot of it is the therapeutic part of it. And sometimes I do have, like, something critical to say, and sometimes it's just about sharing the joy, sharing the mm-hmm. love, you know?
When was the last time that you made something? Like,
I'm making something, right? There's never a stop, okay. I should say.
You don't take a break.
No, I can't speak for all artists, because you're always an artist, no matter yeah. if you're doing art or not, in my opinion. But because right. I'm in my grad year almost, like, I'm hustling right now in school. I am in the middle of the thicket. I am in the middle of 7 paintings. What? I just finished that fashion series for the fashion show. Okay. I just finished painting that, which is like 8 or 9 outfits.
Wow.
And on top of that, I am trying to, for my grad project, I want to do an immersive experience where I build a world in a room mm-hmm. out of all my art. And then I want to make it community building too, hopefully, and get, like, people involved and make some, like, you know, things that are immersive and, like, tactile and, like, yeah, I have a lot of goals.
That's good. Can you share one of those goals? One or two, whatever.
Make my community better.
Sorry?
Make my community just, like, a little bit better, honestly. Okay. I know it's, like, very broad, but I have I'm friends with this collective called I Wear Collective. Mm-hmm. I hope I said their collective name right. And they get funding from the city, from the Mount Pleasant area, to do interactive painting workshops on Main Street mm-hmm. with the community. So it's free, everyone can join. They give all the materials, they have the brushes. And it's like you make friends, you build community from that.
Oh,
that is what I
want
to do.
But that's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that.
I'll send you the link.
Yes,
it starts
you.
More in the summer. In the okay. meantime, it's just, you know, there's no venue space
yeah.
for it right now. And it's hard finding a venue space in Vancouver that's not yeah. already being used for something great, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know.
Yes.
Even if it's not right now, happening right now, it's good to know.
There's a lot of collectives and galleries and wonderful things happening, but they're all, like, behind restaurants, underneath,
yeah.
like, eyewear glass, like, glass stores. They're in the nicks and crannies, because that's where the government has forced us.
I get it.
Back to the housing crisis. Yeah. yeah. But art will always survive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And we have all this public art, right, in the city,
yeah.
all the graffiti and the murals. Mm-hmm. So,
and also this idea, like, for example, the venue where I met you, it's
oh, yeah,
doing
yeah.
right now, like, supporting more art or artists. It's good.
And that was started by another artist, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Scarlett. I met her that night, too, but friends of a friend.
Okay.
And they had approached her from what she told me, because they wanted to do the same kind of, like, art scene, but mm-hmm. at the bar, and, like, she helped organize it, and it just got the ball rolling. It takes a village to make things work, you know? It's
yeah.
not just, it's everybody,
yeah.
yeah.
But I think it's working.
It is working, because people overall
well.
Care about each other, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what's happening, like, everyone is compassionate, I mm-hmm. think, in the core, and does care about each other and want to support, like, the art and local music
yeah.
in Vancouver. And the poets.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta support our writers.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes. I love that. Okay, so we are close to the end of the show. So now I'm going to ask the question.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think an artist needs to be successful?
In my opinion, it's pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
They just need to know how to do their taxes. You'd be surprised, but you can get a lot written off if you just know how to do your taxes correctly. You can get your studio space written off partially. You can get material use written off partially. You can find jobs through the government that they pay you to do what you're already doing in your art practice.
Okay.
It's just about, and then also like if you're selling your art, if you file it correctly, you keep all the tax information and then you file it for taxes. Yeah, you'll have to pay the taxes on it, but overall, it makes you successful in the end. Every artist that I know who's working, making your work, or is working right now, file their taxes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's hope.
Yeah. You can do it.
Everyone can do it.
Would you like to share something else? What you're having right now? Some events? Some, I don't know. Like the shows that you have this weekend?
Oh, yeah. So this weekend, I'm working two gigs. I sell art at concerts. I'm selling art at Grey Lab at the Chronic Fatigue Show. Check it out. It will be great. Right downtown in Vancouver. Really great music. Mosh pit, amazing. And then Sunday, I will be at Astoria for Mom Cuts My Hair Band. And they are fantastic. The whole lineup is fantastic. I think it's like six bands playing. It's going to be fantastic.
It sounds like
it's I'm so privileged just to be around these people, honestly. Yeah. I'm so happy they let me do this. Like it's you know, what is art if you don't have an audience for it, right? If you're not like connecting and doing something, stirring the pot, you know.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that information.
Thank you.
I'm gonna share this on Instagram and also your social media.
Oh my gosh, I already shared
your media, but I don't know. Would you like to add something else? No. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me.
And it was a pleasure to share this space with you and those stories that you share as well. And nothing. I'm just going to leave you listeners with some music and yeah. I don't know. I always
say, with the fridge light on.
I always say, we'll see you next time, but no, I cannot see you.
Oh,
you know,
that's just the tea, bestie.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just enjoy the rest of the day or night, and keep listening radio, please.
Thank you. So what's it gonna be?
FM.
What are you doing? If you're not listening to Planet Emit Flows on CCITR 101.99 FM every other Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Pacific.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music sessions.
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Of the hours, I know you're shy.